Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, DraftKnicks. Here we go. It is draft week. We're 48 hours away from the start of the NFL draft. Tonight we're going to be doing a one-hour special with Draft Nation's editor-in-chief, John Toth. JT, welcome to Draft Nation Blog Talk Radio. Are you ready to go on the clock with me, brother?
I am ready, man. This draft is coming faster than I ever imagined, and I'm excited about the draft coming up. So let's get this going.
Yeah. So before we begin, I got to thank our longtime sponsor, iHeartRadio, here, where you could find all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all for free. But I'm gonna cast away the rest of the. If you don't know what we're doing by now, we've been on the air for almost a year. If you don't know what we're here to do, this is what we're here to do. This is draft week. This is 2 days, 48 hours, less than 48 hours away from the draft, the official start of the NFL draft. And, so JT, we're going to get started. I'm going to take the odd numbers. You're going to take the evens. Our mock draft tonight is not going to have any trades. So even though we know that many trades are possible, few will actually be made. And so we're going to go chalk tonight just to make it simple for both JT and I. And we're going to go through and talk a little bit about some of these teams, their needs, and why they're taking certain players and where we're going to predict they are. But again, this is unrealistic in the sense that we're not really going to have those trades be part of it. But what is very realistic is, number one, off the clock, I'm going to use all 9 minutes and 59 seconds of my time so I can get camera time for the city of Chicago and for my number one pick overall, Caleb Williams, quarterback from USC. This is a guy that Chicago hasn't had in our lifetimes, JT. Jim McMahon was probably the closest thing to this. Maybe, Cutler, if you go back. This is a guy who has the ability to be a franchise quarterback. He is a nouveau quarterback in the sense that, this is a guy that can scramble around. He can improvise. He's got the arm. He can make all the throws. He's got speed. He's got size. There's nothing that you can't like. The guy's a little quirky. He's got some eccentricities to him. But, hey, you know what? So does everybody. So I'm not going to hold that against him. Best of the lot, I think, in this case, and I think Chicago's doing themselves a nice service. And it looks like that trade they made last year. This pick belonged to Carolina. I'll bet you that Carolina right now would be all those fans down there, the Panther fans, our guys down at Draft Carolina are wanting this pick back, but Caleb Williams is the guy. Any thoughts on that before I turn it over to you as you coming in for Washington, coming on the clock here?
I mean, I like the pick. I do. He's coming into a situation where he's got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. I mean, he's not coming into a bad situation. And like you discussed, they had seven wins last year. They're not a 3-14 team that's rebuilding the whole ship. So he has a chance to come in and be successful. I'm not going to guarantee this kid's the best quarterback in the lot, but I think he is going to be a solid performer in the NFL for years. And you hit it on the head. I mean, take Caleb Williams over Bryce Young, and that basically comes down to what Carolina did with their draft picks.
Yeah, I got you, man. Well, hey, look, you're on the clock, so let's talk Washington Commanders. You're in that two-hole. What are you going to do with that pick?
Well, we're going to do what Washington – I'm going to pick what Washington is going to do. What I would do might be a little different, but I think Washington, they love this kid. And another reason to love him is Jaden Daniels from LSU, the Heisman Trophy winner. The kid had two very good seasons at LSU. Last year he was phenomenal throwing the ball to two great receivers, let's not forget that, and Neighbors and Thomas. But what are you going to say? Like you just mentioned, Chicago hasn't had – we haven't seen Washington with a quarterback like this in a long time either. They had RG3 there for a couple of years. They got excited about it. I think they have a chance with Jaden Daniels to they're really right to shift there. He's coming into a little bit of a difficult situation. Their offense isn't quite – as established as Chicago. So there might be a little bit more growing pains with Jaden Daniels. I personally would like Drake May here, but that's for me. But I think that they will take Jaden Daniels right here. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, as much as I love Drake May, and I'll get to Drake in a second, and I think that if I were the Commanders, I'd be taking Drake May too, even though he might not have the seasoning and the experience of a Jaden Daniels, it's hard to look away from it. This guy is the the new standard for NFL quarterbacks. He's a little skinny. He reminds me a lot of Robert Griffin III. And, you know, I think that if he could put on a little bit of weight and bulk up in the weight room, that'll help him. But it's hard to argue against 40 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. It's hard to argue against a Heisman Trophy. And that's what you got there. I mean, the guy clearly is a performer and a big-time performer. I think he has to watch himself. He plays pretty recklessly, and in this league, you can't – you know, sometimes it's okay to step out of bounds or go into that slide a little early. But I can't complain about the choice there. But sitting at 3, it's up to me, and New England is going to be the benefactor of all of this. And my second overall quarterback in Drake May from North Carolina falls to me here. It's really hard for me to look away from this. Sure, the Patriots are not going to be good this year. And sure, they could probably trade down and get a boatload of draft capital for this pick and then try to address it in another year or in free agency down the road. But when the Patriots are drafting 3rd overall, there's something wrong, and it's time to go get your next franchise quarterback. And Drake May's that. I mean, the guy's 6'4", sturdy, you know, strong arm, makes all the throws. He's a gunslinger. He has no problems throwing the deep ball at any time. He's a risk taker, which I love. He's got enough wheels that he can get out on the edge there and do some damage, pick up some first downs, frustrate quarterbacks. He's a competitor. He's got the bloodlines. Both his father was a quarterback and one of his brothers played for UNC basketball. I mean, the kid's got it. I think this guy to me looks like a floor of Justin Herbert and a ceiling of Josh Allen. I really, really like the guy. He's not a season. And he won't start right away, and that's okay. You know, I think if we can learn anything from, like, the last couple of years, it's okay for these guys not to come in and play right away. Sometimes seeing things from the bench a la Jordan Love isn't all that bad versus what's happened to Bryce Young and or even beloved Kenny Pickett here in Pittsburgh. But that's what I've got there, which puts you on the clock for Arizona, JT. Where are you heading with the Cards?
First off, I love the pick. I love Drake May. I love the fact that they'll probably have Jacoby Brissett play a season, and they're probably going to win 3 or 4 games and have another rough season. But I think New England Patriots fans will appreciate the weight on Drake May. Arizona, it's pretty nice in the 4th pick of the draft could be the best player in the draft, and they fall to you. And that's Marvin Harrison Jr. This guy's got it all, man. I mean, I would say since 2003, whenever Larry Fitzgerald was selected by the Cardinals, this might be the best receiver to come out. He's got great hands. Route running's amazing. His size, you can just throw the ball in an area and he's gonna box out a guy. He just comes down with the ball. Watched a couple games this year, a couple times. Watched him over and over. He just makes catches no matter where the ball's thrown. He's thrown at his knees, down at his feet. Last year they only had. Marquise Brown led their team with 574 receiving yards. So this team is hungry for a receiver. And Marvin Harrison, he could have a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to pass up on that. And I agree with you, man. This guy is 100% the number one player on my board. I think he's a can't miss. I think this guy reminds me, at worst, T. Higgins, at best, Larry Fitzgerald. I think he's the best wide receiver prospect to come out since Fitz from Pitt, a decade or so ago. And I think the Cardinals, you know, resurrect Larry Fitzgerald in the body of Marvin Harrison Jr. here. Now, I will say that I think this is my first spot where this pick doesn't happen. I think Arizona trades out of this spot. I think Minnesota comes up here and takes J.J. McCarthy. They get the quarterback that they want. Arizona gets a dump full of assets, and they use that to make up for it a little later and still get a receiver in this round. But, you know, because we're not having those picks, I think you're right. I think right here, this is perfect for those guys.
They made a statement today that there's supposedly 2 trades, 2 teams offered something. They made the announcement that they're going to trade. If they make the trade, they're going to trade ball on the clock like they did last season. So, It's gonna be a draft day while they're on the clock kind of trade. And I agree with you. I think Denver or somebody Denver comes up or who else is there? Denver or even the Giants.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. I mean, somebody's gonna offer a boat, but Minnesota has 2 ones. and a bunch of picks in this draft. So I agree with you. There's going to be – this pick is not going to happen. I put more money that doesn't happen than it does.
Yep, I agree. And then I'm up on five, and I've got the L.A. Chargers stepping in. Now, this is another pick that I'm going to tell you right now I think they trade out of. I think there's a lot of other teams that are interested in this pick, and I don't think they eventually hold it. I think there's a couple of teams that move, because in my mock draft, which I'll release tomorrow on our site, draftnation.com, I have the Jets coming up to this pick and stealing Marvin Harrison Jr. before anybody else can get him. And I think that the Chargers trade out. But because I can't do that tonight, the Chargers are going to pick Joe Alt from Notre Dame. I think that even if they trade and stay, or they stay, or if they trade out, they're still going to get an offensive tackle. This is a Harbaugh-led team now. The guy loves the running game. They've got one bookend with Rashawn Slater, and now they go out and get their other bookend with Joe Alt. Lock that down and look out, because you know Harbaugh is going to go from pass happy to run happy. So you're going to see a lot of that there. And then you're up again, man. You've got the New York Giants on your mind. What are you thinking?
It's another tough pick because there's a lot of rumors spreading that the Giants might give up on Daniel Jones. Then there's rumors that they won't. I'm going to take the path that they're not going to give up on Daniel Jones, and I'm going to give him a receiver that would be number one receiver any other year except for this year, and that is Malik Nabers out of LSU. Nabers, a deep ball threat. We've seen that with Jaden Daniels. The kid can do about a little bit of everything for the Giants. The Giants have no receivers. They drafted Jalen Hyatt last year in the third round. He didn't do much. Wandell Robinson, same thing. Darius Slayton. They just have a bunch of two, three, mostly three, four receivers. Malik Nabers can step right in for the Giants and give Daniel Jones a fair shot. You know what I mean? Like give him a fair opportunity to succeed. I mean, they don't have much around them. You lost Saquon Barkley, so you lost one of your best passing options out of the backfield. So this team needs help, and I think they need a Malik Nabers from LSU.
Oh, Malik Nabers is such a fun player to watch. This guy is so fast, so twitchy, great hands. Like you said, in any other draft, if it weren't for the fact that Marvin Harrison Jr. was at the top, this guy would be best of the bunch. And it's hard to turn away from that if you're the Giants. The Giants haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since Odell Beckham Jr., like 8 years ago. It's hard to fathom that for an NFL team in this day and age. Look, I think you filled that hole nicely, which puts me back on the clock with Tennessee. And Tennessee was licking their chops to get Joe Alt, hoping that the Chargers in this draft would have taken a Nabers or taken a Roma Dunze. Instead, Joe Alt is off the board, so they take the next best left tackle here, and that's Olufashanu from Penn State. And this is a guy who's only given up 2 sacks in his career. He's still young. This guy's just going to be turning 21 years old. And is, you know, technically sound, super high football IQ. That's exactly what Brian Callahan and the guys down in Tennessee want to see when they're trying to plug some holes from last season and rebuild that line. And so, my number one left tackle comes off the board here, even though I think the consensus is Joe Alt. I think Fashanu is my guy, and I'm glad to see him go to Tennessee. What do you think?
I like this pick a lot. I mean, Tennessee got their quarterback in it with Levis. Their offensive line was terrible last year. He took a lot of hits, and I love Fashanu. I mean, we're Pitt fans. Sometimes it's hard to give Penn State credit, but you got to give Fashanu credit. This kid, he could have been a first round pick last year, and he came back to school. So. I think it's a great pick for Tennessee. I think they're happy that Alt went to the Chargers. I think they get a guy that they'll have for the next decade or two. He's the kind of guy that he just plays a smart game. He's just very smart, and he'll help their line. I think it's a great pick for Tennessee with a young quarterback.
Yep, I'm glad you like it. I know Tennessee fans are cheering for Joe Alt, but, that's what mock drafts are for, right? We're having a little bit of fun. You're back up, man. You've got Atlanta Falcons at number 8. What do you think?
All right. Well, this team, has rebuilt their offense nicely. I mean, they got Kirk Cousins, a quarterback, and I got a real good young offense behind him with Bijan Robinson. You got Darnell Mooney. You got Drake London. You got Rondell Moore. You got Kyle Pitts. I mean, the offense is set. Now it's time to help out the defense. And defense was a little rough last year, and they got a guy out there by the name of Dallas Turner, who's a freak athlete, who Atlanta fans will fall in love with this guy. He might not have that quite the superstardom name of like a Jared Verse, but he's a guy that he's as solid as you can be as an edge rusher in this draft. Great pass. He can pass cover. He sheds blocks great. Plays a complete game. Short. He has a real good burst out of his stance, so he can be all over the field for your team. And he adds a versatile edge rush for a team that needs it bad, and they're going to have to outscore teams right now, and have a guy like him that could sack a quarterback and lose some yards for the other team that's going to go a long way for the Falcons.
Well, you know, Atlanta's needed an edge rusher for a long time, and you just took the best of the bunch, off the board, right? I mean, and they sat at 8. They didn't have to trade up to get it. Normally in this day and age, edge rushers are going first, second, third. I mean, you look back just a few years ago and, you know, and you can see the value of those edge rushers coming off, and they've got the best this year. Is he as good as Will Anderson last year? Yet to be seen. But, you know, this is a guy that, I think Atlanta fans, like you said, are going to love. Which brings me to Chicago, their second pick already in the top 10, as they sit here at number 9. And even though I would take a tackle here, I've got Caleb Williams coming in. We've got, the receivers you mentioned before, whether it's, trading for Keenan Allen, whether it's DJ Moore from last season that came in from Carolina, whether it's Cole Kmet. They've got enough. And this is a deep receiver draft. They can pick up something later if they need to, even though they don't have, they only have 4 picks in this draft. This is a situation where, I think that with Rome Odunze sitting on the board and kind of following in the footsteps of what the Cincinnati Bengals did when they had Tyler Boyd and they added T. Higgins, and then, oh my goodness, Jamar Chase falls into their lap. You've got those three. I mean, that's hard to pass up. And Odunze, just like Neighbors, could have been at the top of any other year's draft class. He's my favorite receiver in this draft. Not the best, but he's my favorite. I love the guy's work ethic. I think this is a no-brainer for Chicago, and even though Chicago should take someone to bolster that left tackle position, they're going to pass on it because they cannot pass up on Rome Odunze. What do you think?
I like it. And like you said, there's a couple of different ways they could go. The defense is a little rough as well. They'd have a chance there maybe to get like a Jared Verse or even like one of the top cornerbacks if they went that way. But I can't fault this pick. I mean, give your young guy anything he needs right now and let him – you won 7 games last year with that defense, and they have made some improvements in the offseason. So why not go heavy with the offense? I mean, you're in a Division II with teams that score points. Detroit's going to put up points. Green Bay looked like they turned it around second half of the year. And who knows what Minnesota's offense is going to look like. They still got – a pair of great receivers in Minnesota. So putting up points in that division might be a necessity. And why not give Caleb Williams another talented guy? And I like Odunze too. I think watching film on him, he's a fun guy to watch. You're right about that.
Well, man, you're back up. And this time you're there with the New York Jets. Different New York. You got both New York teams and with your evens here. What do the Jets do?
Well, I'm going to be the guy that makes everybody in New York so happy, because when Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay never gave him anything. They, in the first round, they always drafted defense or offensive tackles or whatever. They never drafted a playmaking receiver for him. This ain't a receiver, but all they have at tight end right now in New York is Tyler Conklin and Jeremy Ruckert. So they're going to get a tight end who could change the game of football. I'm being honest when I say this. Brock Bowers is a guy, he's not going to knock you down blocking you. He's not going to be one of them guys. If he can line up anywhere in that offense, and you add Brock Bowers in the lineup with Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams. Aaron Rodgers could have a field day with this this lineup, and Brock Bowers is, you're going to see a tougher guy than him. He's a guy you can even hand the ball off to. There's so much stuff you could do with him, and I think with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he's going to make it work, and this could be a lethal combination, Rodgers to Bowers. What do you think, Joe?
I mean, Brock Bowers is basically a receiver in a tight end's body. He is so talented. Only player to win the Mackey Award back-to-back years for best tight end in college football. Just an all-around weapon. And as we get closer, and I know JT, you and I have talked off air about this, as the specialty positions stop being positions and are more positionless, this is a perfect example of that. And I know that we've seen some of that in Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell, and we've seen that over the year when, you know, he wanted to call himself a weapon and not a running back for the sake of, his contract, or, you know, the Troy Polamalu's of the world that were playing strong safety, but really were playing linebacker and free safety at times, and then could play the slot. I mean, there are guys that fit that bill of the positionless player. And Brock Bowers fits that bill. And there's a guy, you need him on the line to block? Sure, he'll block. You need him to run a pass pattern? He can do it in line. He can do it from the slot. He can do it out at the X position. He's got the speed to do whatever you want. They've even played him as an H-back and a running back at Georgia. I mean, the guy's just uber talented, and I'm excited to see him. And I think Aaron Rodgers will be excited to see him, too, in a New York Jets uniform. And which brings me up to number 11 here with Minnesota. Now, Minnesota, none of us expect to be here. But let's presume that they still keep their two picks. And what are they going to do where they're sitting right now? The first thing I'm going to say is I'm going to take a pick that might surprise people. Minnesota needs to do something for that defensive line. They lost Hunter. They've lost a defensive end to Cleveland last year. They've got to shore that up. And I'm going to take what I think is maybe the first stretch of the draft, but I don't think in the end it's going to be much of a stretch. I think this is Byron Murphy from Texas. You know, a defensive tackle that could play defensive end. You can move him all around the line. The guy has really risen up draft boards recently. And since I can't trade for Minnesota here and I'm not going to get JJ, I have to take two picks with them. This is a place where I think that they have to fill in a void. And, you know, the Penixes of the world and the Nixes of the world just aren't going to do it for them. So they pass on quarterback and they fill the next biggest need for themselves along the defensive line with the best defensive tackle in the draft this year, Byron Murphy.
It is a shocker. If the Vikings don't trade back and they stay there and they don't take a quarterback, I guarantee that the fans will be upset if McCarthy was there. But I get your reasoning that if they don't trade up, chances are somebody will trade up above them. And that's why our mock's going to be a little bit off, because chances are Minnesota's trying to trade them up. If they're not going to move to the fourth spot, they could move to Atlanta at eight. There's a lot of different rumors going around. But I can't disagree with Byron Murphy. I mean, Murphy, Newton, but Murphy's a bigger guy with insane power up the middle, and that's a great pick for a defense. I mean, Minnesota's going to have to find something. They can't go into the season with, of course, Jefferson and Addison getting thrown to by Sam Darnold, but I can't fault this pick, especially when they still have 23, and I think we both agree that they're going to package them together somehow. They're probably going to end up with one first-round pick in this draft at the end of the day. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, this is good as gone, but, you know, for the sake of what we're doing, that's where I've left. So I'm trying to address their need. So, which puts you up, man. You're Denver. You're at number 12. Where are you going with these guys?
Well, Denver's another team. Denver is a team that reports came out today that the rumors are that they're not gonna pick at 12. They're a team that wants to move up. I've heard they're moving up. I've heard other rumors that if the guys are gone at day one, they'll move down. But in this mock draft, I'm gonna jump on JJ McCarthy for Denver. They only have Jared Stidham. Jared Stidham ain't gonna start the season. I mean, if he starts the season for a couple games for Denver, Sean Payton ain't gonna mentally be able to deal with a guy like Dartmouth. And they got, of course, they traded for Zach Wilson as well. But do they give Zach Wilson a fair shot? Who knows? The Zach Wilson trade just happened yesterday. I think they would take J.J. McCarthy here. I think they are going to trade up, though, and get a quarterback like Minnesota. I think Minnesota and Denver are two teams that are going to be monitoring each other, really, you know, wondering who's going to be the one that trades up, you know. And I'm sure the rumors today about Arizona having two teams supposedly that made trade offers, I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota and Denver are the two teams. But I'll take J.J. McCarthy here for our mock draft, and that brings you up with another team that could be quarterback hungry, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, you know, I think that the Raiders here go to Penix from Washington. I mean, I don't think there's any reason for them to wait on this. I think he fits really nicely into their system and what they want to do. Is he overdrafted at this point? Probably. But you know, he throws the best ball in the class, and there's no doubt what he's been able to do the last couple of years. He's proven he's healthy. I think that that's a knock on him that might be a bit overrated. Now, let's face it, I mean, two ACL surgeries on the same knee, I'd be a little scary too, but I think the Raiders do what the Raiders do, and that's take chances with guys like this. And so I think Michael Penix comes off the board here for me.
I love this pick. I think he's 40 times that he did it as pro. They've proven to everybody that injuries in the first couple years in Indiana has nothing on his body right now. He does throw the prettiest pass in the class. The only thing I didn't like what I saw on film from him was the senior boy got a little lazy. He tries to overthrow. He has such a great arm, but sometimes he don't use his feet the right way. But I think you're right. I think he fits the Raiders to a T. And I think right now with the way this draft is going with quarterback, I think you take Penix over a Bo Nix by you know, you go after Michael Penix right now, because at this point you don't know what teams are going to – like if this would be the mock draft, Minnesota right now might be trying to hunt back into the next couple picks and take a guy like Penix. So I love this pick, Michael Penix, right here.
Yeah, that's good, man. Well, that loads you up with New Orleans. You're on the clock for the Saints. What are you going to do?
I'm going to give them, I know the Saints fans ain't going to like it, so I'm going to give them a tackle. I'm going to give them J.C. Latham from Alabama. Ryan Ramczyk, his status is unclear. He had a knee injury. Trevor Penning hasn't done what he's supposed to have done when he got drafted. So they're hurting at the tackle position. They got a quarterback who's getting up there in age and David Carr. They need Derek Carr. I always call him David. I'm sorry, David. Derek. But I agree. I think they need a tackle here. Latham's not my favorite, but I think he is a guy that you gotta love. I mean, he's a big guy. He's positionally sound. He has good hands, strong hands. Personally, I would put him tackles. I'm not sure if I was selecting here, that'd be the guy I want. I think that they're big on Latham there. Size is base, hands, upper body. I just think he's a guy that he played so much in Alabama against high competition in the SEC. I think the Saints take the tackle, and they'll be happy with him, especially after the past couple of drafts where they've had trouble getting a tackle in there. So I'm going to go with J.C. Latham out of Alabama, and that brings you up to one of our affiliates in Indianapolis, and I took Brock Bowers off the board for them, so they're probably a little mad at me right now. But
if Bowers didn't slip to them, I mean, I think that's something that the Colts fans were salivating on. They're going to get their next version of Dallas Turner with a little bit more speed, and they missed out on that. So now, you know, and I went back and forth on this one. I mean, this one was not easy for me because my gut tells me that they want a receiver for Anthony Richardson, but my head tells me that they know that they need to get a corner. And so they're going to go and they're going to take Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo off the board here and fill in a big, big hole for themselves. I know that this guy's a MAC player, but he's not a MAC player. He showed out at the Senior Bowl. He blew up the combine. He, in my mind, put himself in that stratosphere with Terrion Arnold. As 1 and 1A in this class for corners. And, you know, even though I think that the Colts may trade back, I think they may trade. And if you read on draftnation.com, you'll see that our Indy affiliate, Tony Donahue over there, made his bold prediction that they will trade back. I think if the Colts do trade back here, that's, you know, they'll eventually address this position. But, you know, since we're not doing any trades, Quinion Mitchell comes off the board for me here. What are your thoughts?
Love Quinion Mitchell. I did our e-guide that people are going to get when they go to the draft event, and it'll be on the website. But I'll tell you what, he is out of all the players, what they've done from like the end of the college season till now, he has exponentially improved his draft stock. The guy at Senior Bowl is all you heard about. He's long limbs, can cover, you can basically put him on an island. He can do it all, a playmaker. This is a great pick for Indianapolis, and I think once the Brock Bowers fades away from them, they're gonna love this pick. I mean, I honestly think this could be the best cornerback in the draft. I mean, like you said, between him and Terrion Arnold, and I don't think there's really much separating the two, so I like his pick.
Good. Well, that puts the Seattle Seahawks on the clock, and you're back on there for them. What are you doing here? Seattle's got a bunch of holes. Which one are you going to fill for them?
They do, and they got two guys out there right now that, man, they're both sliding. They're both sliding hard. Man, I'm going to go with Jared Verse. Verse has slipped. He slipped in our draft a little bit. The edge from Florida State. I'm gonna have him there. They have Leonard Williams. They got Draymond Jones. Nothing extravagant there. Their defense last year struggled mightily. The other guy I was looking at here was Terrion Arnold, who definitely could have went as well because their cornerbacks aren't much better. Even though Tariq Woolen became a pretty solid player there in Seattle, but I'm gonna go Jared Verse, their defense. I think the pass rush will sort of help a little bit of everything in their defense, because their defense has so many holes, but I think an edge rush like Jared Verse will help their secondary for now.
Well, you know, they got a new defensively minded coach, and he gets a chance to start to shop for his own ingredients. And Jared Verse, he's got a long way to come in the sense he hasn't been playing football all that long, and he's still dominant. He might be the best edge rusher in this class. He can also, you know, drop into a 4-3 and doesn't have to play on the edge. This is a guy that can play with one hand on the ground or two. He's a really interesting play, and I think a team like Seattle absolutely could use him. Like you said, I mean, it's the biggest hole they've had on their team was defensive line, and it's been that way for a couple of years. This is one heck of a step to going and filling that hole, which puts me back on the clock with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and both of us talked about Terrion Arnold here in the last two picks, one with me at the Colts choosing Quinion Mitchell, and then you alluding to that for the Seattle Seahawks. Well, there's no alluding anymore. And my pick here, Jacksonville needs a corner. They go out and get a corner, and that's Terrion Arnold from Alabama. Probably the best corner in this draft, hands down. It's got the right kind of attitude, the right kind of size, right kind of speed. There's not a hole in his game, and it's hard to even try to poke holes. I mean, this is a guy that everybody was throwing at because of Kool-Aid McKinstry and what he had done the year before. And what did he do? He blew it up. You know, he's like, too bad, come throw at me if you want. And really kind of turned the tables, and now he goes off the board before his running mate in Kool-Aid McKinstry goes off the board here for the Jacksonville Jaguars at 17. Do you agree or do you disagree?
I think if Terrion Arnold's there for Jacksonville, that's a no-brainer, and he's a guy that will step right in and start day one. I agree with you. I think he may be the best cornerback in the draft. I think sometimes we get a little asphyxiated with guys that have this big rise and soft with, like, I think Mitchell's great. I think Mitchell's going to be a fine player, but I think he may be a little bit more on the raw side because of his competition than a Terrion Arnold, who basically tried to get picked on for how long in Alabama, and it didn't work because they weren't throwing to McKinstry. So I love this pick. I think Jacksonville, they get a steal at 17.
Well, cool, man. Well, look, the Cincinnati Bungles, excuse me, I mean the Bengals at 18 are on the clock here. And I know many of those Bengal fans wanted to see Bowers miraculously slide here, but he was gone a long, long time ago. So what does Cincinnati do here, John?
Actually, the guy that in my mock that I would have loved to have taken here, but you made the shrewd move at 11 with Minnesota. Byron Murphy would be a great pick for them. I think it might be a little too early still for Jerzon Newton. So I'm going to look at receiver where they have Ja'Marr Chase. I get it. They got T. Higgins. But T. Higgins, there's a lot of rumors going on with his contract. I know he's a franchise, but what they're going to do. And they only got, like, Trenton Irwin, Andre Iasevis, and Charlie Jones. They really don't have what you would call a deep receiver crew. I'm going to go with the other LSU receiver here, Brian Thomas Jr., who I think if Cincinnati don't take him here, I think teams are going to line up to get him right now. But I think Cincinnati just helps give Joe Burrow something else to help out with. I know a lot of people say, what about tackle? They got Orlando Brown. I got the Brown boys, actually, Trent Brown and Orlando Brown. I'm going to go receiver to try to help Joe Burrow a lot. I agree with you. If Bowers is there, and we know that as Steelers fans, that could be a nightmarish thing if he does fall, which I don't think he could fall to 18 in this draft. But I'm going to take Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, you know, I love Brian Thomas Jr. You know my thoughts on this guy. I think he's the next Mike Evans. Just size, speed, 4.38 speed at 6'4" in that frame at 220. I mean, the guy is just a beast. And for a guy like Joe Burrow, like you said, you're giving another LSU guy to float in there. I think that's a fantastic pick, which brings me to the LA Rams. The Rams here have plenty of holes. They just had the retirement of Aaron Donald. They need help along the offensive line. But where they hurt the most last year is an edge. And I think Liatu Latu from UCLA stays home and, just crosses town to play for the Rams at SoFi. Here's a guy who is incredibly physically gifted. And, if it were not for some wonky kind of semi-retirement because of injuries a few years ago, might be at the top of this draft. I mean, outside of that, I'm telling you, this guy killed for UCLA last year, and I think he'll step right in and be an edge-rushing demon for these guys and really help them address that problem that they have. What are your thoughts on that?
Joe, I think you hit it earlier on when you said that most drafts have an edge rusher in the top three or five. I think if this guy doesn't have his health history, I think this guy goes top five in this draft, and I'm not exaggerating. The guy, what he did at UCLA last year, he was basically unstoppable. He was dominant, took over games, and against teams that pass the ball a lot too. I mean, so he was running down some of the better quarterbacks in the country. He was playing amazing football. And if it wasn't for the fact that he retired because of his neck injury, and then UCLA was like, nah, it's not that bad kind of thing. This kid probably would be, maybe not top five, but top 10 in this draft. He'd be up there with the Verses and the Turners. I like Lay too a lot, and I think the Rams. And you just lost the GOAT, so you gotta start filling in and help out. So I like his pick of Lay too.
Well, that brings up your team, your hometown boys, Pittsburgh Steelers. You're here at 20, Steelers. That they need a receiver, they need offensive line, they may need a corner. What are you doing here, JT?
And they need a center, they need a cornerback, they need a receiver, they need a tackle. And there's two tackles on our board right now, Fuega from Oregon State. But, Joe, me and you, we don't always think alike, but we have both been on the Amarius Mims train for before we started doing mock, before the season was even over. I'm going to go Amarius Mims. I know the fact he's only started 8 games, but he played a full season, 15 games a year before backing up and getting in playing half the games, and Georgia was blowing people out. Guy's a house, man. And you put a bookend of Broderick Jones and Amarius Mims with the way the Steelers like to run the ball. You also got Fryer Music a block. Dude, this team, this team's run game could be devastating. And the fact that you get your tackles taken care of for the future. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I'd love to get a matching partner, a corner for Joey Porter Jr. right now. I definitely would. I think everybody would like to see the Steelers as corners be set for the future. But let's take care of the tackles now. And then hopefully later in the draft they could find the center. And I know that you're taking a chance by not taking Powers Johnson here because he's a guy that won't be there when we pick in the second round. But I'm taking Amari Smith from Georgia.
You know, it's hard to say in any other case. I mean, they need a right tackle. They didn't re-sign Chukwuma Okorafor for Dan Moore's going into the last year, his contract. And you know they're going to slide Broderick Jones over there to play left. So that right tackle position is staring them in the face, just like center is. And I think they had their choice here. They could have gone Graham Barton. They could have gone, you know, JPJ, as you mentioned. They could have gone to a corner. There's plenty of them still on the board, but I think that they addressed their biggest need, which is right tackle here with Mims. I can't complain about that, which puts me on the clock with Miami as we head into the back, you know, the last third of the draft here, pick 21. They've got a couple of holes here, right? They have a hole at center, and JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson is still like literally staring me in the face. You just mentioned him earlier, but I'm going to go Johnny Newton for them here. I mean, Jerzon Newton from Illinois. Look, you're never going to replace Christian Wilkins. I mean, the guy left to go to Vegas and they have to do something here. And because Byron Murphy's off the board a little earlier to Minnesota, I think they jump and take the next best defensive tackle on the board. And this is a pass-rushing defensive tackle. This is, yes, he can run stop. Yes, he can. But he's the kind of guy that's going to put pressure up the middle on a quarterback, and they'll do their best to address a monster hole, a gaping hole on their defensive line here by bringing in Jerzon Newton, Johnny Newton from Illinois. So any thoughts on that, JT?
I like him. He reminds me of like a Javon Hargrave type when we first drafted him, like a guy that just – he's relentless rushing the quarterback. He may not be like a run stopper kind of guy, but in today's NFL, you give up the run stopping if a guy can put pressure on the quarterback, because you know what the NFL is all about. And I think from what I watch a ton of tape on Newton. I think Newton's relentless. He'll be a fan favorite. He'll be a guy that's – I'm not going to compare him to Aaron Donald, but he's compact, he's small, and he's ferocious. He's a guy that you don't want to have to line up against. And I think Miami does a good job here getting Newton. I was going to take him at 18 with Cincinnati, and I might be shaking my head, but I think it's a good pick. I like Newton a lot.
Well, hey man, that puts you up. You're now drafting for the Philadelphia Eagles at 22. That big NFC East flash. What are they going to look to fill here?
Well, the Eagles, if everybody remembers last year, they started the season off pretty good. They were looking like they were considered a Super Bowl contender. And in the second half of the season, their defense just totally, when I say totally changed and got lit up, they were giving up close to 300 yards passing a game in the second half of the season. They were losing games. They were losing games they should have won. Losing games, and they were putting up 30 points and still losing games. So their cornerback situation is a little rough right now. They got you got Lattimore at the one, and you got Paulson Adebo. You got a guy like Nate Wiggins sitting there from Clemson, who ran a 4.29 in the 40 at the combine. He's long. He's got long limbs. The kid, you gotta love Nate Wiggins. Wiggins is a guy that was pretty much one or two going into this this draft year. He has speed, his athleticism. You could put him out on an island as well as his speed, man-to-man, against some of the fastest receivers in the league. A little bit of worrisome tackling. Physicality is not really there. And he does have a tendency sometimes, and I noticed this in games, that if he does get beat or a guy makes a move and he gets beat, he'll grab him and take the penalty right away, which – sometimes ain't a bad deal, but I think Nate Wiggins here for Philly starts to help their defense, and I think he was the best cornerback on the board right now.
Well, you know, you and I saw him run a 4.28 at the combine, the fastest defensive back out there, only second to 4.21 with Xavier Worthy, the receiver out of Texas, who just blew up the charts and set a record at the combine this past season. This guy's got length. He reminds me of a little skinnier Sauce Gardner. If he puts on a little weight and keeps that speed, man, is this guy going to be tough to beat. I think he starts for Philly at day one, and they let him learn on the job. I agree with you. I think that's exactly what Philly needs and what the doctor ordered, which brings me to 23 in Minnesota. Look, I know we talked about this before. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. This isn't – Minnesota's not going to be here, but for the sake of our draft, they are. And because, you know, they didn't – they weren't sold on J.J. McCarthy at 11, and they needed to fill that hole with Byron Murphy, they still have a quarterback problem. And this will be the sixth quarterback in our mock draft to go off the board where they take Bo Nix at 23. They waited on him in this draft, in this iteration of the draft. But they get a guy who has experience, who is amazingly accurate, who will be walking into a situation with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and, Aaron Jones backing him up in the backfield and TJ Hawkinson when he comes back. I mean, this guy is going to be walking into an embarrassment of riches and a great offensive line in Minnesota. And even though he might be the last quarterback off the board in our, unless you surprise me with the rest of the picks, if someone else goes after our quarterback, he might be the last quarterback that goes off here, but he might be the one in the best position day one. So Bo Nix from Oregon steps in here. And I know it's funky because I don't think either one of us believe it, but what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, Minnesota needs a quarterback, and they got their defensive tackle. I'm sure if this would go down that the fans in Minnesota would be shaking their heads, saying they'd rather had McCarthy and then a defensive tackle here or whatever they could have got here. But I have no problem with the fact that they got Byron Murphy off the board. I'm not a big Bo Nix fan, and you know that. A lot of it has to do with just the offenses he's ran and how he's unsuccessful under center, but he was good at Oregon throwing the ball real quick. But I can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with this pick, honestly. In this market works. It really works. So I have no problem with it whatsoever.
Well, then that puts you on the clock with Big D, Dallas. What do the Cowboys do?
I'm struggling with the Cowboys here. I'm not really. If you just look at their depth chart, is a guy named Brock Hoffman, and their backup is Dakota Shipley. So I think JPJ falling here is a godsend for Jerry Jones, and I'm going to take the best center in the draft. The Steelers fans are going to be moaning and groaning because the ones that don't follow it well enough and think that he would have been there for our second-round pick, which we all know he's not. I'm picking Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. He has a chance to be that kind of center that could be there for the next 10, 12 years, be a leader of your offensive line. Dallas's offensive line has taken a hit as of late, but it's starting to shape up a little bit now with Tyler Smith. You got Terrence Steele, Zach Martin. So I think you add JPJ to that line. It's a no-brainer for Dallas right there.
Well, you know, it's funny because I know centers are not a value pick in the first round unless they're Marquise Pouncey types. But this guy reminds me so much of Mike Webster, it's ridiculous. He is the strongest. I mean, of any player in this draft, strongest on the bench, on the three combined. The guy is just amazingly powerful, a starter from day one, and it fits exactly what Dallas needs. So Miami passed on it a little earlier, and Dallas is the benefactor of that, that JPJ falling there, which puts Green Bay on the clock for me. And Green Bay breathes a sigh of relief. They wanted Amarius Mims badly, but the Steelers grabbed him at 20, and they still need to address that tackle position there. And here they go. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma falls right into their lap. Now, Guyton might not be as polished as the other guys. We might now be just getting to the point where they're drafting guys, that can play tackle that might be just fringy as starters, like right away. This guy might need a little seasoning, a little time on the bench, a little time to kind of watch and grow. But this guy, he plays with a mean streak. He plays through all the whistles. This guy has all the talent and the length that you look for in either a left or a right tackle. And I think that Jordan Love's going to be really happy to have this guy standing in front of him for the next 10 years. And I think Green Bay rejoices to see that at least Dallas passed up on him and went center instead of tackle, and he falls to the Green Bay Packers at 25. What are your thoughts?
It's Tyler Guyton falling to 25. That's a very nice pick this late in the draft. I think that you got a young quarterback. We always keep saying this: keep your young quarterback upright. And Tyler Guyton at this point in the draft is the best on the board at the tackle position. You can never go wrong with it when you get a quality tackle. And this year, it's strange. Like, we still have guys like Fatanu and Graham Barton out there. So this tells you how deep this draft is and the offensive line. They're out there for you. And between the quarterbacks, I was even doing something today looking at this. But between the quarterbacks, receivers, and just tackles, it's like half the first round is basically them three positions, which is crazy. Then you add the cornerbacks in. You're basically looking at four or five positions in the first round, and I like Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. I think he's a good player. He's a big guy that can do what he's got to do in Green Bay. I like his pick.
Cool. Well, that puts you up again, Tampa Bay, man, at 26. What do you do here?
Tampa Bay needs an edge to a point. They got Kalijah Kansi last year, but I'm looking at a guy that's fallen in our draft that can play guard, and I think what makes it nice is the fact that he can play a little bit on he can play in a couple different positions. I'm going to go with Trey Fatanu from Washington. This guy has versatility on a team like Tampa Bay. His offensive line's not the greatest in the world. I mean, especially in the middle, they got Robert Hainsey at center. They did draft Cody Mock last year at the one guard, but the other guard they just got Tua Peta, they signed from the Eagles in the offseason. I'm going to go with Fatanu. The guy's got versatility, good hands, he's strong. He played real well at Washington last year. If they decide that he can play guard, he can play guard. If you need him to tackle, but he's a great depth piece here. I don't think there was an edge rush really worth taking here. I thought maybe Chop Robinson, but I passed. I'm going to go with Fatanu from Washington.
It's hard to disagree. This guy could have gone in the top 10, and no one would have argued, and you're getting him a value pick here at 26. And this is a guy that might, like you said, may end up bumping inside and playing there, you know, at guard, but can also handle multiple positions along the offensive line. No problems there. Arizona's back up, and Arizona, you know, they waited and they waited and they waited. And they went, and, you know, this is one where, you know, with the, you know, where can they go here? But at that four spot, you had Marvin Harrison Jr. come off, so they fixed that wide receiver problem. The other problem they have is at edge, and we've got the two best edge players off the board. But you mentioned that your last pick was doing a little bit of a fall. You know, this is a guy that's been a riser on boards lately, and that's Darius Robinson from Missouri. He's, you know, I was going back and forth on Chop Robinson from Penn State or Darius here from Mizzou, and I settled on him only because two reasons. One, he performed better last year than Chop Robinson did. Chop might be the better performer at a combine. He puts up a lot of sexy numbers, but the guy only had one sack last year on a team that he should have had much more. But, you know, I know Chop's a little raw. Darius Robinson might be a little bit more refined, a little bit of a bigger body, but, you know, it's a guy that, you know, can really get to the quarterback, and it fills a need for the Arizona Cardinals. What are your thoughts?
I think he's a high riser. That's all you hear about is him dominating. He's a great combine. I like him better than Chop Robinson, too. I think Chop Robinson is one of them guys that has the combine skills but doesn't really do much when it comes down to games. And you know how that is. You can't go by the combine all the time. I think Robinson on film is dominant for Missouri. And let's not forget, he's playing at an SEC school and he was performing well against these guys that are going to be future NFL tackles. So I think at this point in the draft, Arizona gets Marvin Harrison Jr. And Darius Robinson, you can't go wrong there. Two good picks.
Which puts you back on the clock, my friend. Buffalo Bills, and oh, their offseason. Oh, their offseason. What do they do there? They got plenty of holes. They got holes at wide receiver, corner, all over the line. What do you do?
Well, chances are, and Buffalo is one of the teams that you keep hearing about, they're going to trade up. They're going to try to move up and get a quarter, a wide receiver somewhere in the middle of the draft. But if they do stay, there's a guy that's still out there that I like. He's 6'4", 196 pounds, good speed hands. He don't have the speed of his teammate does, but he put up better numbers than his teammate did. And that's Adonai Mitchell from Texas. The kid has size, ability. He's overshadowed now because of the Xavier Worthy 4.21 in the 40, which basically people sort of put Adonai Mitchell back in the shadows. But I think Adonai Mitchell would be a nice combination with Diggs for a year or how long. Diggs not there no more. That's right. They got rid of Diggs. I'm sorry about that. But he could fill in for Diggs, actually, take over that spot. So I think they need a receiver. I think Josh Allen needs some hands. They lost Gabriel Davis as well. So I'm going to go with Adonai Mitchell from Texas.
Yeah, Mitchell is a beast. You know, he's another guy that this is such a rich receiver class. It's hard to argue against any of that. We're coming down to our last four picks and our last 4 minutes. So I'm going to do a little bit of a fast forward here as we get to the Detroit Lions. Lions lost Cam Sutton, unfortunately, here over the offseason to some legal issues. They've got a big hole at corner to fill. And so the Lions are going to step up and take Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, and they're going to fill that void. They were hemming and hawing about Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and I think they went the traditional route, and they grabbed McKinstry, who, for all intents and purposes, last year was, one of the better corners. The year before was the best corner. It came in, and because of Terrion Arnold's play, and you shouldn't count that against the guy, fills a void for a team that was just on the verge of the Super Bowl. So I don't know what your thoughts are there.
I think McKinstry got sort of bumped last year, this year on the draft process because of no one threw his way. So he didn't have a chance to really show nothing on film. But he's a shutdown cornerback that you could put out on the edge. And we already talked about the NFC North being a very pass oriented. It's becoming a very pass oriented division. So I like his pick. I think you get the best guy that's left and a guy that potentially still has the highest ceiling at cornerback.
So you got 3 minutes left. We're still three more picks. You're on the clock with Baltimore. What do you do?
Baltimore, I'm going to go, since we're running out of time, I'm going to go with Chop Robinson. I'm going to give them an edge rush. Their defense is sort of, and they always seem like they have a closet full of defenders, but they have Matabuke at the one and Broderick Washington at the other, with nothing to really write home about there. They got Adase from Penn State as well from a couple years ago. So they're going to get another Penn State guy. They're going to have Chop Robinson. We already talked about it. Chop at the combine is probably one of the better performers at the edge, but he's got to show a little bit more on film. But I think Baltimore can mold him into the kind of player they want him to be, and I think it's a good pick at 30 for them.
For me, San Francisco at 31 with 2 minutes left. Chop Robinson was going to be my pick. You'd grab them right in front of me. But because I anticipate that they're going to trade Brandon Ayuk on draft day, they have to fill that void. And this is a spot where Ladd McConkey goes. You're the guy that, has been a borderline number one, number two kind of pick. But it can play inside, can play outside. Hands that are like, soft as you get. Has receiving speed, ran in the 4.38, proved that he could be, a player that could help. And I think on that team with Debo and Kittle and some of the guys they have there, I think Ladd McConkey is going to fit in. And frankly, I didn't want to see him going to Kansas City, so I wanted to steal him from you there. So with less than a minute left, you got the last pick of the draft, man. Who are you taking for the world champion Chiefs?
Well, I thought about Xavier Worthy, but they had some problems in this offseason losing some cornerbacks. I'm going to take a guy that has slid, not Cooper DeJean for the Chiefs, giving them a little bit of a potential cornerback safety type to mix into that defense for the KC Chiefs.
Well, what a great pick! I mean, if you get Casey, or if you get Cooper DeJean as your last pick in the first round, you've stolen something. And the Chiefs stay home and maybe get the steal of the draft here. Well, JT, got to let you go. Thanks again for coming on. Let's see how these picks ferret themselves out, and good luck at the draft day party in Pittsburgh coming up on Thursday. Thanks again for being on Draft Nation.
All right, man. Thank you, brother.